mercy sing. Only one heart's devotion, Savior, oh may it be, consecrated alone to thy matchless glory, yielded fully to thee. Only this hour is mine, Lord, may it be used for thee. May every passing moment count for eternity. Souls all about are dying, dying in sin and shame. Help me bring them the message of Calvary's redemption in thy glorious name. Only one life to offer, take it, dear Lord, I pray. Nothing from thee withholding, thy will I now obey. Thou who hast freely given thine all in all for me, claim this life for thine own to be used, my Savior, every moment for thee.
Well, again, it is great to be here with you all this morning. I've enjoyed it. I feel at home here. I've enjoyed the singing. I've enjoyed worshiping God. I believe He is worthy to be worshipped. And we get to sing about Him and live for Him. And, you know, it just makes sense. The Bible's words is reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to lift Him up and to worship Him. But so many people do not know that story, do they? So in Indonesia, it is a little ways from my house where I grew up as a child and where I kind of our comfort zone is. But we have to leave where we are at to go reach the world, don't we? We have to leave where we are at and go to the people where they are at and reach them. You know, the doors are open. The people can come into your church. But, you know, if we just sit here and wait for the lost to come to us, it's not going to happen. We have to go out to them. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is the work that we have to do. But thank you so much for allowing us to come. Thank you for the warm welcome that you've given to our family. If you would now, go with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 today. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 17 today. I do appreciate the testimonies that I have heard. Thank you for sharing with me about how you came to know the Lord. I'd like to hear some more of those after the service, if possible. But I like getting to know God's people and how you became God's people. You know, the world looks at us and we are so foreign to them. I just keep asking a lot of questions. I'm not trying to be like that school teacher that nags, you know. But who in here, by show of hands, have left the United States? You've been out of the country before. Okay, so about half the people here. And I just remember all of the foreign things I felt and saw and experienced when I first went to Indonesia as a kid. And then going back, things seemed to be changed as well. People say, oh, Josh, you were a missionary kid, so you're going back to home. It's like, well, it's different. Here's the thing. When you cross the street in Indonesia, you don't go to the crosswalk. The crosswalk's way down there. What do you do? You just shoot straight across. That's how you cross the street. Y'all remember that frog game, you know, crossing the street? That's what you do. You play that game in real life, just trying to get across the street. And I found out as a kid, you just would walk across the street, and people would stop. You know, and they don't go real fast there because there's so much traffic a lot of times in the cities. You just start walking out, and they'll stop, and you walk across and stop and walk across. And you just kind of play chicken all the way across the road. And you get across, and I'm alive to tell about it. I remember, though, it was different on our survey trip. My wife went, and we had our little bitty baby. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to just step out in front of everybody and just hope they would stop. So it's different as we change, right? There's all these foreign things that happen. You know, God's doing a work in your life, but He is preparing you for tomorrow. Everything that happens to you, God can use it, even if we make mistakes. God can use it for our good and His glory for tomorrow. He's that big of a God. One of the first experiences I do remember in Indonesia, though, we got in really late as we had traveled a couple days to get there. And so we got in really late, and I slept in that morning. And I remember the sun was already up when I woke up that morning, and I heard this strange sound. I'm like, what is that sound? What's that strange sound? They said, that's their prayers, them praying, the Muslim people. So, most of the country is Muslim, so I was like, well, I was thinking like there was a guy standing on the other side of their wall, like praying out loud, you know. But it wasn't that. In their religion, you have the mosque. And on top of those mosques, they have four loudspeakers, typically. And they're pointed in every direction. And five times a day, there's that chant, that call to prayer that goes out. And it's calling people to come and stop what you're doing and pray. Because they have to work their way into heaven. Now, does God love you? This means yes, this means no. Just picking on y'all. Yes, I believe that you know God loves you. You ask a Muslim that, and they say, how can we know? God is so far above us, we could never be so presumptuous to know the mind of God. True, God is far above us. I would agree with them. But I have what God wants me to know right here, and He tells me He loves me. So what they're doing is they're trying to scramble and pray and give money to the poor to earn their way into heaven. My wife and I on our survey trip went there, and I told you in the Sunday school hour, my parents, missionaries there, they were keeping Hannah, and so we were traveling around, and we came back to my parents' house, and I got out of the taxi, and I paid for the trip. There's a little bit extra. I said, hey, you just keep the extra for a tip. He said, oh, thank you so much. He said, that's your amo. I said, my what? So I didn't understand that Indonesian word. And I said, what does that word mean? So in Indonesian, he quickly said, that's where you give money to the poor to get to heaven. Did you catch that? He was saying, I was tipping him, the taxi driver, to try to earn my way into heaven by giving money to the poor. That's another part of their works-based salvation, their system. But that's man's way. But the Bible tells us that our righteousness are as what? As filthy rags. We cannot rescue ourselves. But we're all sinners. So God loves us. The Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Their idea is, God's so far above me, I'm not sure if He loves me. My only hope is to do the best I can down here on earth. And one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to kind of lay everything out and kind of spread it out to make it look like it's really good. I'm going to try to put all the bad stuff in the back, you know, so maybe God will just see my good. And maybe I can get into heaven. But you and I know the truth of the Word of God that no man, woman, boy, or girl can go to heaven with sin on their account. Their sin must be paid for the wages of sin is death. Man, what a great response. You guys understood that truth. But most people don't understand is that they can have their sin paid for by someone else, by the perfect sacrifice. Indonesia, different times of the year, you can go down the streets and you can see they have goats for sale lined up down the street. Now, we're talking about a city. We're not talking about the country and you see goats. We're talking about in the city, on sidewalks, they take over, build fences out of bamboo, and they have these goats for sale because they have a time where they have their sacrifice. That reminds you of the truth of the Bible, right? They have taken a part of the truth of God's Word, said, yes, we know that we're sinners, we're bad, we have to have the sacrifice. But you and I know that the blood of goats cannot take away our sin. But Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice once and for all, but they've never heard the story. Most Indonesians think that you are a Christian because you're American. And we are in a Christian country. Are we really in a Christian country? No, we're not. They believe that all movies that come from Hollywood has a stamp of approval of all Christians. Do we believe that? Absolutely not. But that's their concept. So they believe that Hollywood is the same as Christianity. All America is the same as Christianity. And that's all they know. They believe that we believe the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, and Mary. Now, these are things that are elementary to us in Sunday school, but they don't know it because they don't have Sunday school. If you pick up a prayer card to pray for us, on the front it says, Church Planting Missionaries. We want to plant churches because they need somebody that will faithfully be there day after day, week after week, year after year, to keep proclaiming the truth. Because they might not accept it the first time, but oh, we can keep telling them and keep telling them. Now, if I think about that church planting, if you would picture with me, if I were to ask you to go plant a tree, go plant a tree. Tomorrow I want you to go plant a tree. Are you picturing in your mind a 100-year-old oak tree? So please, when you think about Josh Ewing planting a church in Indonesia, don't think about a 100-year-old church. That's not the kind of churches we can start instantly, plant, insert. No, it's very small, but we need them to be started, and we need to plant churches, multiple churches. We have to because the work is so great. But in order to have a church, you have to have people. How do you get people? By getting out the Word of God, by planting the seed, So I ask that you pray for us to be bold witnesses. When everybody around you is Muslim, how well do you think that bravery wants to seep up inside Josh's heart? Not too far, right? Hey, just keep it yourself. If they want to hear about Jesus, they'll come ask you. Now, how many times have y'all had somebody come ask you, can you tell me how do I get to heaven? I'd like to hear the gospel. Does that happen very many times? Not many times. We have to go to them. So I'd ask that you pray that we would be bold witnesses. Now you're going to talk to us and get a prayer card. You're like, man, those people seem like really great people and they're nice and, you know, his tie is kind of not crooked, you know, and his hair is kind of not messed up and he seems like an okay guy. Listen, we don't have it all together. We need God's help. We need God's power upon our lives. Listen, when we do God's work, we need God's power. So I'd ask that you pray that God would use us in a mighty way to get the gospel out. And then as we sow the Word of God, and God saves people, and then God, we want to pour the Word of God into those people and allow God to change their hearts so they'll start looking around, just as you did when you got saved, and said, I wonder if other people know the gospel. Maybe I need to go tell people. And ask that God would raise up laborers in Indonesia. Because it's not about what Josh Ewing can go do. I mean, how many churches can I lead singing at? Now, I didn't lead singing here this morning for good reason. But when I go there, guess who's going to lead singing? Me. Guess who's going to set up the chairs? Me. There might be someone else who can set chairs up better than Josh. But to begin with, I've got to do it. And then I've got to open up. I've got to close down. I've got to help with the outreach and the bulletin. And all these things we're going to do that you do at church, we're going to do over there. But at first, we're going to do it all. I'm going to have a big thing of keys right here. And I'm going to be in control of everything because there's no one else to do it. But God, in His glory, in His power, through His Word and through His Spirit, is going to use us and He's going to raise up people. And the Word of God is going to give fruit. And then those people are going to grow and they're going to say, hey, Mr. Josh, Brother Josh, do you think I could help set up the chairs? Well, I guess we'll let you set up some chairs. Now listen, I need you to be faithful, though. I need you. You're going to be faithful. Well, yeah, Mr. Josh. Brother Josh, I'm going to be faithful to church. And then God's going to grow them. And they're going to say, hey, Mr. Josh, do you think I could help take up the offering? Well, yes, you can. You need to be faithful to church. You're reading your Bible? Hey, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what God's doing as you read your Bible. You have any questions? Well, actually, I do. I wrote some down. Can I meet you tomorrow? Yeah. And we just meet people and pour the Word of God into them. There's nothing special about me, but that Word of God is going to do a work in Indonesia. But we can't just start one church. Island after island, city after city, neighborhood after neighborhood, millions of people in Indonesia. God's going to have to do an amazing work, and you're going to look at it, and if God's doing it, you're going to have to say, it's not Josh, It's not Ewing's. It's not Elizabeth. It's God. And we need to plant multiple churches and have men that will lead each one of those churches. I ask you to pray about those things, that God would raise up men that would lead those. Man, that doesn't look like a church. That is like a little storefront. I mean, they got a sign out front, but what is that? Hey, it might not look like much, but God can do a work through that church plan. So I'd ask that you pray for us, that God would do a great work in our hearts and then through us. The mission field can be a graveyard for missionaries, where they go and never come back. They go and they stay for 1, 2, 3, 4 years, and they come home and they never go back. I need you to pray for us. I need you to partner with us and beg God to help us be what He would have us to be. If you would, turn with me now to Matthew chapter 4. If you're able, please stand with me for just a moment. We're going to read a few verses. We'll pray. You can be seated. I'm just so excited about what God has done in my life and what I know He's going to do in the future. And I hope you're excited today about what God has for you, how He's going to use you. But here's the thing. It's not going to be us. It's going to be Him. And I'd like to show you that in this word, in this story. You may know the story already. You might know it better than me. But let's read this and put yourself in this story in 2020 and see what you need to be doing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us here safely. I thank you for the health that we enjoy, that we're able to be here today. I know some are not. But Father, I pray that as we are here and we open your word, we ask for your Spirit to use your word and to help us. God, use me as a simple tool in your hands to encourage and challenge your people, that we would all be active in your work. We would trust you, and we will see you do a great work as you already have, as you're doing, as you want to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I look out, and what an exciting sight that I see in front of me. A group of people, this amount of people, right here in God's house. You came here to hear from God's Word because you love God. God's done a work. But in this story, we talk about some people that maybe they don't know all about the Bible like you did. But I love this first part here. What an example we have from Jesus. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We have got to go reach the world. You guys remember 9/11? After that time, people's viewpoint drastically changed toward Muslims in the United States. But if you go to Indonesia with all of those Muslim people everywhere, it's like every person you talk to is Muslim. God loves them. And He wants them to know about His love and His forgiveness and His salvation. Now, with most Indonesians, they're what I would consider a backslidden Muslim. Because they're kind of, nothing crazy. I had one Muslim tell me one time, he said, "You know the Muslim ladies, you can only see their eyes." He said, "We don't like them." "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because they're bad for tourism." He was talking about tourists and terrorism, and that just doesn't go hand in hand. He's like, "Look, I make my living through tourism industry." He said, "So I don't need to mess that up." You know what most Muslims want? They just want to pay the bills, have their kids grow up, get a good education, pay the bills, and just kind of live happily ever after. They're just thinking about trying to just do what a lot of people in the States do. America's not a Christian country. But, you know, most people are just like, hey, I just want to make it. But they need the converting power of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that God would change their mind about their view of God, their view of their self, and how to be saved, how to have a true relationship with God. It's through the preaching of God's word, but here Jesus gives us an example that he does not do all the ministry by himself. What an example. Now, if I were to take you to Indonesia and say, I want you to spend a year or two and learn the language, and then you're going to be the Sunday school superintendent, I need you to take over all the teaching, I need you to lead that part of the ministry, I'm going to be working to get people that you can teach, okay? And so you're going to be in charge of Sunday school. You know so much more about the Bible than most of the world. You could take over that. You'd say, all right, Josh, let's get this organized. I know what we need to teach. We're going to go through here. We're going to use this. We're going to do this. We're going to pull this together. And we're going to teach people the Bible. And you would probably be the best teacher that church had for the next 10 years, maybe even longer, because of how long you had to grow in your knowledge about the Bible. But we would do a terrible injustice to that church in Indonesia if you're the only teacher for the next 10 years. Because Jesus Christ could have been the one who did it all. He could have fed everyone. He could have taught everyone. He could have reached everyone. But he chose to use people like us. We've got to be careful, or we will look at people that are serving God and say, I could never do that. I am not who that person is. But Jesus constantly brought people alongside him. I want you to see this in this next verse here. In verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. What were they doing? Casting a net into the sea. Now, when I was a kid, we fished with a bamboo pole or just a regular fishing rod. And my papa, he had a couple of ponds behind his house. He had a rule, though. You had to bait the hook if you wanted to go fishing. So whether that was worms or chicken livers, you know, that's what you did. We had catfish and things like that. That's not the kind of fishing that was done here. This wasn't fun hobby time, right? This was work. He interrupted their business meeting. I mean, maybe, I'm not sure what you do for a living, but this is how they made their living. This is how they paid the bills. And Jesus interrupted them being a good guy, taking care of the family, paying the bills, just being a good, honest person. And he stopped them, verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. What is he thinking? Come on, Jesus, I'm working here. I don't have time for this. When God wants you and I to serve him, what is your response? What is my response? Right now, as we travel full-time, raising up our financial support, you know, it could be very easy for Josh to just focus on work, 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 get the job done so we get to Indonesia. But we pass people all the time that need to hear about Jesus right here, right now. What is our response when God asks us to follow his example and step into the ministry that he has for us right now? I was talking to someone this past week. They're praying about being a missionary. They're almost sure that that's God's plan for their life, and I'm excited for them. But now they've got a time where they surrender to the time they're actually leaving. That can be a lot happening in between that, and a lot of distractions can happen. You know what Jesus says? Follow me. Follow me. Are you following Christ today? Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 right here. I want to read this verse quickly to you. I love this. I believe you do as well. These verses. Hear, O Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, the Muslims would believe that. See, the Muslims, they believe some of the stuff that we do about God. And that would be the one thing. But they don't know how to get to him. They don't really understand the character of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Can I encourage you today? If you're following Christ, continue to follow Him. But if you're not, I ask and I encourage you today, follow Christ. Follow Him by trusting Him as your Savior and be saved today if you're not saved. But if you're saved, follow Him by being passionate about what He is passionate about. Love what He loves. Care about what He cares about. Now, what do you think about when you think about Muslims? Now, I have kind of a skewed view because I've had friends in Indonesia and I've been around them and I know they're just regular people. But what's your opinion about a Muslim? I remember I've heard some very hateful things said about Muslims from Christians here in America. But we've got to be careful because such were some of us. We were sinners without Jesus Christ, and now He tells us, you know me as your Savior, now follow me. Are we following Him? Are we excited about what He is excited about? But if we're going to follow God the way we're supposed to follow Him, we're going to just leave other things. Now, if there's three cars left in the parking lot, you jumped in yours, I said, hey, follow me. And there's another car that said, no, follow me. And we go in separate directions. You can't follow both cars at the same time, can you? What are you following today? How do you make decisions? Is it based upon the Word of God? Or is it based upon what you want to do, what you're good at, and what you feel like? I want us to be passionate about loving Jesus. When I got married, there's that leaving and cleaving, right? I leave my parents and I cleave to my wife. And we become one, and God is wanting us to follow Him. God is wanting our hearts to cry out that I love the God. I love Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my might. Is that true, though, in your heart? Now, have you guys ever had your kids get in a fight? My kids have never fought because they're missionary kids. And missionary kids are perfect, right? But let's just use our imagination that my kids have gotten in a fight. And I say, now, you guys need to make up. You need to tell each other you're sorry. Sometimes they could say it with their mouth, but it's not really true in their hearts, right? God wants this verse in Deuteronomy to be true in our hearts. But then if we go back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, and He saith unto them, follow me. And next He says, and I will make you fishers of men. Who is the one that's got the responsibility to make us what we ought to be? God is going to do it. It's not you. It's not me. I want you to look, if you could, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I alluded to this in the Sunday school hour, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. God is going to make us what we ought to be. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers. Did you guys see that? You get saved and God makes you able to serve Him. Are you following Him? If you follow Him, He's saying, I'm going to make you able to do the work that I want. My heart this morning is for Indonesia, of course, but I stand in front of a bunch of people that are saying, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do with my life today? Where am I going to be tonight when the doors open up? What am I going to do in my devotions tomorrow? What am I going to do in my devotions today? Are you following Christ? Follow Him and He will make you what you ought to be. He changes us. He makes us able. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then there, verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Follow Christ, and He will make you what you ought to be. You say, Brother Josh, I could never teach someone else the Bible. I'm just not a teacher. We have a great pastor. He teaches and preaches, but that's not what I can do. Listen, we can teach the Bible. You can teach the Bible. You continue to learn, and God wants to use you to be a teacher of the Bible. He wants to use you to share the truth of the gospel with other people. Now, if you're going to ask someone to help handle a snake, you don't want to call Josh, okay? I remember as a kid, someone come knocked on our door. We were living out in the country at this time, actually. Someone knocked on our door, and they motioned out in the yard, and there was a cobra snake crawling away from our house. And I said, you just keep on going, snake. I don't like snakes, so that's not for me. But you know what? There is something for each one of us as we follow Christ that God wants to make us fishers of men. So where we step into the ministry, we reach out and we reach other people the gospel. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionary. Each one of us have that opportunity and that responsibility. God decides the work. God decides where we're supposed to work. God decides what we're supposed to do. And He wants to use us all along the way. But a lot of times, when God says, I've got a job for you, we say, we have something else in mind, Lord. What I want you to do, Lord, is listen, you go on ahead and I'll follow up in a little bit. I'll catch up with you, okay? Father, I just need you to calm down about all this ministry stuff and serving God. I need you to calm down. I've got a career and I've got a few things lined up. I've got my 10-year plan. And when I get that done, then I'm going to get with the pastor. Then I'm going to get involved in church. And when everything just calms down. When I get rich, when I have to worry about the bills, my 401k is fully funded, then I'm going to really jump into church. That's never going to happen. Life is always going to be busy. It's always going to be difficult. Are you serving today? And that's that last point here that we look at in this Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 19, and He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. That's where we have to be obedient to go where He wants us to go. Now, a lot of times people say, Brother Josh, you know, why Indonesia? They need Jesus. I had a friend, he's a missionary in Africa, and someone asked him, what people group are you a missionary to? He says, the lost people. That's a pretty good people group. We, in the world, as believers, we need to look for people that need the gospel and go to them. And so we got to be careful, or what we will do is we will sit back and we will say, God, I need you to show me what you want me to do. I need you to send me a message in the sky and tell me the next steps that you want me to do. But He's already told us in the Word of God what He wants us to do. He wants all the people in the world to know how good He is and how wonderful He is. And we have to go forward and help Him. Have you ever driven a car that doesn't have power steering? You know, sometimes it's not very fun. I had a car. It was a little car, so it was easy to drive. I never really noticed that it didn't have power steering except in a parking lot. And that's where you're trying to cut it and turn it. But if you would let out the clutch and go forward a little bit, it was a whole lot easier to turn. If you will go forward and what you know you ought to do, God can direct you. Maybe God would have you be a missionary in Indonesia. Maybe God would have you take a different role of serving in this church. But you first need to do what you know you ought to be doing first. God's saying, follow Me. And you say, I'll follow as soon as I know the next 5 steps or the next 3 years. I need to know all that's going to happen, Lord. And then I'll decide if I'm going to do it. But these guys obeyed straightway. Verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. I'm not sure what you need to leave. But God wants us to be passionate about what He is passionate about. He wants us to love what He loves. He wants our location to be where He wants it to be. He wants us to leave everything that would raise up against Him. A lot of times, we think black and white, don't we? We want it to be very clear. But God's not telling all these guys all the steps that's going to happen. He just said, follow me. I will make you. I will do the work. Sometimes I want a list of all the things that I'm supposed to do and not do, and God says, follow me. Love me. Follow me. Fill our hearts up with it. So, three ways we have taught our kids to obey. And we said, if you don't obey those three ways, you've really not obeyed. Very simple. It's quickly, sweetly, and completely. Pretty basic, right? But we want our kids to obey quickly. When we tell you to do something, you need to do it right then. Is that a fair statement to be obedient? What does God want you to do? Are you obeying quickly? Sweetly. Are we doing it with a good attitude? Completely. Are we doing exactly what God would have us to do with our lives? What do you need to be obedient about today? Number one, is it getting saved? If you were to die today, do you know where you're going? Listen, God sent His Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. The Muslims are not very different than people here in the States. They think that they've got to do enough good stuff, and maybe their good works will be more than their bad works, and God will allow them into heaven. But that's not the truth. The only way you can be saved is by putting your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. But maybe you need to surrender and say, God, I need to be willing to do whatever you want. Pastor, the church leaders, other people in this church, they need help. And I need to be obedient. I need to be willing to do what God wants. Maybe there's a sin in your life. You say, Brother Josh, I forget serving God. I've got sin in my life. Maybe no one knows about it. Maybe people do know about it. But we have a sweet and loving Father that He's wanting to bring us close to Him so that He can have fellowship with us and use us in His service. What do you need to do in your life? So here Jesus is calling all of us to come to Him. He will do a work in and through us. And then we need to decide, are we going to respond in obedience or disobedience? What does God want you to do today? Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. I'm glad that You don't just care about America. You also care about Indonesia. You're not just worried about the future, but You're worried about right now. You're concerned, and You love us, and You want us to be close to You. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be filled with Your Word and worship You. Lord, we would praise You. We would serve You with our hearts and our lives. God, I pray that You would do a work in Your people now and moving forward, that You would be glorified and the world would hear more about You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Follow me.